Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
All right, welcome into the Lake Show. Want to thank all of the shows prior to this show for an amazing day, an outstanding job, well done, in raising awareness and money for NMDP to try and cure blood cancer. The final total, you just heard it from Jason DeRussia, whose show was awesome, $91,980. Thank you. Thank you. All of you good neighbors that have listened all day long, that have donated all day long. It is truly and greatly appreciated. And I mean that sincerely. And I'll just go ahead and say what doesn't necessarily need to be said, but I'll say it anyway. You don't have to just stop. You can continue to donate. Continue to donate, not just today, but beyond today, for a great cause. And yes, we absolutely adore and love Jordana Green, and we're so happy that she has benefited greatly and is in such great health. And she's with us because, as Jason pointed out, there were some really, really tough times, some dark days probably for Jordana, and she's such an amazing person, and I'm glad that she's on the other side of that health issue. Let's dive into the Lake Show, and I want to start, and Jason teased it, and he talked about it, and you guys know that I'm a Wolves fan, a season ticket holder, media member, covered this team for a long, long time, and yes, I am not happy today. I am frustrated today. And I am unhappy, not because the Wolves lost to OKC. It's not because of that. The better team won. The Oklahoma City Thunder, as they are, their roster's constructed currently, they're a better team than the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do I think that we should have won another game in this series? Yes. But clearly they were the much better team. They won this series decisively. 4-1. But I am frustrated because I don't want my superstar player, Anthony Edwards, showcasing the mentality that he showcased last night in defeat. It's upsetting to me. And I want some things to change with Anthony Edwards, specifically Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards in the post-game presser, as he's sitting up at the podium with teammate Mike Conley, who Mike Conley has got one more year left. Another year left. Like, his career is essentially about done. The runs for him to try to win a title, about over. So, of course, he's going to feel a certain way about being booted from the postseason. But Anthony Edwards responds to, and I'm a big fan of Marcus Spears. He does a phenomenal job. The NBA writer, because there's two Marcus Spears on ESPN. There's the former football player, and actually they're related too. It's funny, they're cousins. But Marcus Spears, the longtime NBA writer for ESPN, he asked Ant about losing in the Western Conference Finals for a second year in a row. And he specifically asked him about, because we don't have the entire question here, but about, is there a feeling of being hurt that you weren't able to get to the finals this year?
What does it feel like to come up short of the finals 2 years in a row?
It's exciting. I don't know why people would think it would hurt. I mean, it's exciting for me. I'm 23. I get to do it a whole bunch of times. I'm hurt more so for myself, for Mike. I came up short for Mike. Like I said, we tried last year. We couldn't get it. We tried again this year. We're going to try again next year. But hurting is a terrible word to use. I'm good. Yeah.
Looking at Mike and his longevity, how hard it is to get there, does that put this in perspective at all too?
Yeah, I'm going to work my butt off this summer. Nobody's going to work harder than me this summer. I tell you that much. So, yeah, I'll try to make it happen again for Mike.
Particular things that you want to work on heading into this offseason?
Yeah, I'm not going to give out that information. Yeah, I'm going to keep that in-house this time.
All right, so I'm going to give Ant some credit for acknowledging Mike Conley, who was sitting to his right, his teammate that he appreciates, that he respects, and that he wants to win for. I'm going to give him props for acknowledging that he knows that Mike Conley's at the end of his run as a professional basketball player. But the thing that doesn't sit well with me is when he says that he's not hurt. Now, let me put this into context, okay? And this is in a life context. I don't expect Anthony Edwards to be hurt in terms of, like, he thinks that his life is over or that his year is ruined because he exits the postseason without making it to the finals, okay? Like, I wasn't expecting tears from Anthony Edwards on the podium yesterday. So that's not what I'm anticipating. That's not what I'm expecting. But I don't want to hear my superstar player, the face of the franchise, in essence, be complacent. He was taking things for granted last night. And I don't like that. And if you're asking the question, well, like, what do you mean he's taking things for granted? He's talking about, I'm young, I'm 23, and I got a whole lot of... Dude, you don't know what tomorrow brings, Ant. There's no guarantees in this life. And I'm going to give you a specific example. Let me go back a decade. One of the best times that I've ever had, ever, in working in sports, was when I lived in Kansas City, Kansas, okay? And specifically in Kansas and in Missouri, because there's both sides of the line with Kansas City. The 2015 Kansas City Royals were spectacular. They won the World Series, okay? In 2014, the Royals made it all the way to the World Series, and they lost to the San Francisco Giants, okay? But then the very next year, they got all the way back, and they won it against the New York Mets. They sealed the deal. They went from losing in the World Series to winning in the World Series. And I know that you're like, well, hold on. Like, can you please connect the dots? I'm going to connect them for you. In 2015, in the offseason, a very important member of the Kansas City Royals organization, the youngest stud that they had, pitching-wise, Yordano Ventura, died. He was killed in an automobile accident in the Dominican Republic. I was in that clubhouse every single night. I watched that team every single night. Yordano Ventura was brilliant as a pitcher. You talking about a young stud, an ace? Because that was one of his nicknames, Ace Ventura. Get it? The movie? Yordano Ventura and the Kansas City Royals won a World Series. And in that offseason, a week before we had Royals Fan Fest, a week before, We were all summoned to the station on a Sunday morning to talk about the death of their star pitcher. So I don't want to hear this from Ant about I got 20 years or I got a decade or I got a win. We don't know what tomorrow brings. I'm pretty sure that your Donald Ventura thought after winning that ring, we'll run it back next year. You don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of things that happen in life with tragedies. There's a lot of things that happen economically with teams and salary caps and guys wanting out and trades and player options and all of that. Heck, Ant doesn't even know if Julius Randle will take more money to go play somewhere else next year or Naz Reid. 651-461-9226. Are you guys with me? Because I'm not saying this to act as though like the Wolves didn't accomplish anything this year. That's not my gripe. That's not the point that I'm making. But I want Ant's mentality to change. I'm not expecting him to be Kobe Bryant-esque. Because Kobe would have answered. We know Kobe would have answered it differently. Kobe would have went savage and been upset. Job's not done. He would have been going off. But the complacency and taking things for granted, because life doesn't operate that way, and we never should. That's something that has to change. We'll take your phone calls and texts next on The Lake Show.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is not a here we go situation. Here we go is the Knicks and Pacers. The Knicks are going to try to continue their season. As I saw my Morehouse brother Spike Lee on television just a little bit ago, he's all amped up. We'll see how things play out. But the Wolves season is over. Getting your reaction, 651-461-9226. My favorite Wolves player is Anthony Edwards, as you guys know. But Anthony Edwards, to me, in my opinion, he's got to shift his mentality, his thinking about just the moment. Because I think that he's taking for granted that, oh, I've got a long career. I'm 23. I'll get many, many cracks at getting this far, and eventually I'll win a title. Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. Dan Marino got to one. After he got to one early in his career, he never got back. So this taking things for granted, I just think is not something I want any Wolves player to have that mentality, let alone it be Anthony Edwards. And like I mentioned in the previous segment, I was there in Kansas City in 2015 when the Royals got to the pinnacle and won a World Series. And then a week before Royals Fan Fest, where they thought that they could run it back, we're going to start an attempt to run it back. We all get text messages to come to the station because it was horrible news out of the Dominican Republic that Yordano Ventura had died in an automobile accident. Love your texts, love your phone calls. Let's go to Alex in Minneapolis. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
I just want to say that I think it's a mental maturity issue. I think, you know, a regular 23-year-old isn't put in the level of superstardom that he is. And I think to be a leader on that team, you have to have a certain mindset. I think there's been quite a few ball players that have been able to have that mindset and a lot that haven't. And I think, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, more life to be able to gain. And I just don't think he's there yet. Mm. And that's kind of my opinion.
Mm. Alex, thank you so much for the phone call, because I think you're spot on. Thank you so much, Alex. Call in more often. I think Alex summed it up perfectly. Perfectly.
You took like 15 minutes to get to what Alex did in about 30 seconds.
I'm dead serious. Alex was spot on.
That was good.
That's
good.
But this is the thing. As much as we praise Anthony Edwards, we also have to give him a little bit of grief at times, but also got to be real. There is a certain amount of maturity that he has not gotten to yet. He is 23, and he's not gained wisdom. Like, wisdom is when you get a certain amount of knowledge and information.
And experience.
And you put it in practice. Yeah. Yes, he's not accomplished that yet.
No, he hasn't. And I think I kind of take it that way, but I also want to add something to that where, you know, you don't want your leaders to be these emotional powder kegs where, you know, they run hot, they run cold. It's like if you lose, you're mad at the world and you're upset and you're not going to talk. But to me, I think Ant is trying to find that fine line of being disappointed and being frustrated without overreacting.
Well, he's not trying to show it. I think that this is also part of, and I was thinking this when Alex was talking. And Alex, thank you so much for calling the show, because I love the phone call and I love the take. I think that this is kind of a, if you go back and look at the video and the soundbite, and this is not the first time that he's done this in losses.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I think, a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
For Anthony Edwards, is to not show emotion and to seem unbothered.
So yes, when they absolutely. Because you want people to have an even keel.
When they have lost numerous times this year, Anthony Edwards says, this is what he has stated, right? Well, we didn't come out aggressive. We didn't come out with the right mindset. Well, why did you not? You said that about 20 times this year. How many times do you got to come out and not be all on the same page or aggressive to figure it out, right? I think that was part of a defense mechanism for him. But the reason why I bring this up and say that doesn't quite sit right with me is because we all know that in life, we would like to learn from our mistakes. You know who's young, like Anthony Edwards, who would not have answered the question the way that he did? I don't think Jaden McDaniels would answer it like that.
No.
I think Jaden McDaniels would have been like, I'm pissed.
He would have punched a wall on the way out. That's what he would have done. He would have. I think, you know, Ant is trying to, I kind of go to Alex's points as well, because it's like, Alex made a lot of good points. I think Ant is trying to figure this out as he goes along. And he's 23 years old, and you're putting the burden of an entire franchise on your shoulders. Like, who does he have, or who did he have? Because he's got Mike Conley now, and got Julius Randle, he had Kat for a little bit. But, like, who could you look at as being a mentor for Anthony Edwards early in his career to keep everything in check, like keep his emotions in check and tell him, hey, this is what you do when you win. This is what you do when you lose. Like, because I don't think when I see him.
He's had enough guys around him.
Okay. Well, then.
Like starting your career with Carl Anthony Towns, I think that's pretty significant.
Okay. I'm just trying
and
to.
And I also think, like I said before, it's a defense mechanism for him, because I think there are other 23-year-olds that would have reacted differently. I don't think that Cade Cunningham would have reacted like that and been like, oh, yeah, I got the next 10 years to try to. I just don't think that. Different. Everybody's different. Everybody's got a different personality.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, if you're going to be the leader, you've got to have some level of maturity. And maybe this is Ant thinking that this is the mature thing to say, to not get worked up, not get bothered by, hey, it's one loss, but you know what? We're going to, you know, we're going to go into the offseason. We're going to get better. We're going to learn. We're going to work. But to your point, you know, I'll go, you know, I know you went to the, you know, the Royals. I'm going to go a couple of years later to the Chicago Cubs when they won the World Series. You had Anthony Rizzo. You had Chris Bryant. You had Javi Baez. They had a lot of really good young talent. And you're like, man, the window is wide open for these guys. And the next year, it just fell apart. It's like, you cannot just assume that everything is going to be the same, because this team, in some way, shape, or form, is going to be remarkably different next year. I don't know what the Wolves are going to look like next year outside of Anthony Edwards, Mike Conley, Jaden McDaniels. I don't know what the rest of this roster is going to look like.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And do we think that the issue with the Trump tariffs gets all the way to the Supreme Court? And what is the real reason why he hates Harvard? We're going to talk to Aaron Rupar from Public Notice. He joins us next. And Aaron Rupar joins us courtesy of the John Shusakoa Banker Hotline. We'll get him in and we'll get him out. I know that he's a busy man on this Thursday evening. But Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm good. A little sad about the Wolves today. How you doing?
I'm sad about the Wolves. Let's start there real quick before we get into the political news, because we're both Wolves fans. We're both season ticket holders. Look, I'm not upset that we lost. I think that we could have performed better in this series. I didn't think that this is the type of series that, going into it, I thought that we would lose the series 4-1. But OKC is clearly the better team. They're constructed better. They have the better roster. They're deeper right now. But, man, I was frustrated at the nonchalant kind of taking things for granted attitude that one Anthony Edwards had post-game last night. That frustrated me.
Yeah, and the thing that hurts for me is how close they were in Game 3, you know, where it came right down to Game 4, excuse me, where it came, you know, right down to the last couple minutes, and I feel like that game was a winnable one. And, you know, you hope for a Game 6 as a season ticket holder, of course. But, you know, I saw a little bit of the Ant post-game with Conley, and, you know, he seemed to try to say all the right things in terms of no one's going to outwork him this summer in the gym, and, you know, he wants to get one next year for Mike and things like that. So I wasn't especially bothered by that, but, you know, I was looking forward this weekend to going to Game 6, and, you know, obviously the Thunder were just way too good to allow that to happen.
Yeah, but to say that I'm not hurt and I'm only 23 and I got all these years, like I mentioned to start the show, I was in Kansas City 2015 with the Kansas City Royals. They won a World Series, and in the offseason, their star young ace pitcher, Yordano Ventura, was killed in an automobile accident. So my point is, tomorrow's not guaranteed to any one of us. I don't want him to have that type of attitude like, I've got the next 20 years to get a championship. Mike Conley doesn't.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And, you know, you look at the West next year, and if the Spurs push some chips in to get Giannis, and, you know, Houston's going to upgrade, you know, it's not going to get any easier to get back to that spot. So yeah, you never want to take it for granted. So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of an overall bummer. But, you know, after sleeping on it, you know, it should be an interesting summer. And, you know, the fact that you have Ant at 23 and Jaden, you know, a year or two older, those are good building block guys. And you know, the team should at least be competitive going forward.
No question about it. All right, let's get to the political conversation. I love the Public Notice newsletter. I'm going to ask you just a real just simple question. What is, and this is just your opinion, what is the real reason why Donald Trump hates Harvard?
Boy, that's, you know, I've seen a lot of speculation that possibly his son was rejected. You know, it seems like that. I was actually looking to see if there's any confirmation of that, and I couldn't really find it, so I'm not sure where that
I couldn't
came
find
from,
it either. But, you know, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is that, you know, he tried this move with Columbia, and, you know, Columbia University in New York basically acceded to a lot of his demands. Now, one big difference is that Harvard has a much larger endowment, so they are able to fight Trump in a way that other schools that are maybe more dependent on federal aid aren't able to do. But, you know, I think he just kind of views government as basically a protection racket where he wants these universities and private companies to have to come to him and kind of grovel, you know, for gifts from the king, so to speak. And I think, you know, he's upset that Harvard didn't go along with the program and is trying to remain as independent as they can. And so you see him keep escalating these attacks, you know, as pretty much with every week at this point. So, you know, it's just my sense is that he's not someone who, when he makes demands, likes to be rebuffed. And, you know, you would hope our government would operate with kind of more enlightened principles than that. But, you know, the thing that I think I give Harvard credit for is that it would be easy to cave and try to, you know, kind of change your curriculum and, you know, allow the federal government to have more control over hiring and kind of campus life and things like that. But, you know, they didn't do that. And I think when you make concessions in a situation like that, that just encourages someone like Trump to ask for more and more. So I think it's a tough situation for Harvard, but I think they're taking the right approach here in trying to push back, fight it out in the courts, and not give ground like Columbia did.
What do you think the general, as you kind of monitor social media and polls and just the perspective of the average American, what is the sense that you get when you look at everything that's out there, people's takes with regards to how he's going about attacking Harvard? Do you think that the average American is looking at this and saying, yeah, he's actually trying to bully one of the greatest universities in the entire world?
See, I think that's a really interesting question because I think one of the political geniuses of Donald Trump is that he's pretty skilled at picking fights. You know, we've seen this in the immigration context where, you know, kind of tries to portray these immigrants as being gang members, thugs, things like that. You know, and you see this with Harvard where the line from the administration is that, you know, this is an elite university that's out of touch with the rest of the country and they shouldn't be getting federal aid because your hard-earned taxpayer dollars shouldn't be paying for wokeness at Harvard or at Columbia. And so, you know, I do sense that, you know, Trump kind of, I don't know if it's, you know, really a skill that he's cultivated or just his instincts, but he is pretty good politically at picking fights with either individuals, groups, or institutions that, you know, he senses can be portrayed as kind of boogeymen or bad guys. And so I don't really, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if actually some of this polls pretty well, because, you know, when you ask people about their taxpayer dollars, how they're being spent, if they're not really aligned with some of the values that they think Harvard might have, you know, I could see them kind of being on Trump's side here. So, you know, I do think we've seen that consistently over the years with Trump, going back even to his first presidential campaign, that, you know, for all of the reprehensible things he wants to do politically, he's pretty savvy at picking enemies that, you know, puts him on the, you know, 55% instead of the 45% on a lot of these issues. So I haven't seen kind of definitive polling on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if actually it polls decently, because that is one of the, you know, that's something that Trump is good at politically.
A federal appeals court, they paused Wednesday night's ruling from the Court of International Trade that blocked President Donald Trump's tariffs. In your opinion, when you look at this, do you think that the issue with the Trump tariffs could possibly get all the way to the Supreme Court?
It seems like, you know, now that we've had different courts kind of weighing in on opposite sides of this, where, you know, you had one judge who put the tariffs on hold and then an appeals court today, you know, allowed them to be implemented. So, you know, it does seem like it is kind of tailor-made to make it to the Supreme Court. Now, the legal issue here is not particularly a close call where, you know, tariff authority has only been delegated to the president under an emergency context. And this idea that trade deficits constitute an emergency doesn't really pass the smell test. So, you know, on the other hand, though, you know, you have the Supreme Court, which obviously last year basically granted Trump immunity, you know, in other instances, like with the independent agency ruling last week where they allowed Trump to go ahead with firing some of them, you know, but they had a weird carve out for the Federal Reserve. So they kind of mostly did Trump's bidding there. So, you know, they have on select instances kind of pushed back on Trump, but it's really hard to predict what the Supreme Court would do because, you know, like I alluded to with the independent agencies ruling from last week, there wasn't really a lot of rationality to their ruling. It really seemed political because, you know, if you're going to allow him to fire the agency heads, then why would the Federal Reserve be any different? The only reason is that that would obviously really have harmful effects for the economy. But, you know, once you get these legal rulings around the tariffs issue where you have different courts kind of weighing in with different rulings, that does seem like something the Supreme Court would weigh in on. And I really don't have a sense, you know, of how that would turn out. I think, again, legally, when you just look at the law and the way that Trump is trying to interpret it, his interpretation doesn't seem consistent with the law. But again, you know, we'd like to think that the Supreme Court make rulings based on criteria like that, and that it hasn't always been the case.
Talking to Aaron Rupar from Public Notice Newsletter here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Why do you think that Donald Trump, right now, just in since he's went back into the presidency, the majority of what he's trying to get done and trying to get accomplished is by signing so many executive orders? Why so many executive orders?
I just think, you know, basically it's a lot easier than getting legislation through a Congress where, you know, Republicans have a three-seat majority in the House. I mean, we're seeing this obviously with the reconciliation bill that has the big tax cuts and the Medicaid cuts and the food, you know, the food stamp cuts to go along to basically pay for the tax cuts, where that was a very difficult bill to get through the House. It took months of wrangling, and now the Senate is going to get that bill and make changes to it, and then it's going to have to go through the House again. So, you know, I think it's just easier, number one. And then number two, I think Trump kind of conceives of himself as a king, as we talked about in the context of the Harvard discussion. And so I think, you know, there's been a lot of obfuscation from the administration where they talk about these executive orders like they are bills, and they sometimes even refer to them as legislation or bills, and they're not, obviously. All the executive orders do is direct agencies in terms of how to interpret law or how to interpret policies from the executive branch. They can't change law on their own right. But, you know, I think it's kind of, you know, it advances the notion that Trump wants to create of the presidency, which is kind of the imperial presidency where he rules by decree. And, you know, the government, and not only the government, but, you know, in, universities like Harvard, Columbia, you know, he views them as being out of step with his executive orders and then violating the law, which is not the case. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a combo platter, but, you know, that has been a really notable thing over the first roughly 150 days of Trump's second term, is that he's hardly signed any legislation whatsoever, way below the standard that other modern presidents have set. And so, again, you know, I think that when you have majorities of your party in both chambers, you'd like to think you could leverage that to pass actual legislation. But I think in this respect, Trump is pretty lazy.
All right, the last thing, and then we'll let you go, Ian. I appreciate your time this evening. I know you're busy. But I wonder if you have any background information, just general information, because I'm going to do my research this weekend on this particular issue, but I don't know a ton about it. And you can just tell me what you do know. But Donald Trump has rejected Paramount's $15 million offer to settle some CBS News lawsuit, and he's demanding an apology. So he's rejecting $15 million. He says, I want more money and an apology, whatever. Can you give me kind of just some of the crux or the general things that's going on here with this particular headline?
Yeah, so, I mean, the lawsuit in question here is completely ridiculous. It has to do with Kamala Harris's interview on 60 Minutes last year where, you know, the interview was lightly edited, as any interview on a show of that sort is.
Yep.
But Trump alleges that the interview was edited in such a way to make Kamala look more coherent than she really was and therefore constituted election interference. You know, the fact that Paramount would settle this, I think, is really kind of a blight upon CBS.
Yep.
You know, because it really is an attack on the free press. The dollar amount seems kind of ripped out of thin air, and, you know, it just might be, again, kind of an effort to show dominance over Paramount and basically saying, look, I'm not going to settle for anything less than what I'm asking for here. And these large corporations obviously have money to throw around, you know, and I think they view this as a way to kind of curry favor with Trump. But we talked about this earlier where, you know, when you give Trump an inch, there's no reason to expect that he's going to stop there. You know, he's probably going to want to leverage more control over programming decisions, over staffing and things like that. So, you know, it's one in a string of really silly lawsuits that Trump has filed. But this is a difference from his first term, where he figured out that with lawsuits like this, he can kind of use them as a way to extort private companies and exert dominance and control over them. And, you know, I think this is one of the more egregious cases of that.
I'm with you. Hey, Aaron, I appreciate the time, my man. The Wolves season is over, but the Twins are playing some really good baseball. So let's connect and get out to Target Field this summer, my man.
Hey, I'm wearing my Twins cap right now. I put the Wolves cap away, at least until they make a big trade, maybe in July. And so, yeah, let's go Twins.
All right, let's go. All right, that's Aaron Rupar from Public Notice. Check out his newsletter. He does a phenomenal job. When it comes into your inbox and you check out all the fine work, his Substack is unbelievable. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the opening hour of The Lake Show next.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, thanks to Ann Rupar for being on the show. One thing I'm going to have to do is pay a little bit more attention to the Stanley Cup Finals, because we haven't gotten there yet. We still got teams vying to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. But I haven't... Ever since the Wild got booted from the postseason, I got to be honest, out of all the years, I just didn't follow the other series as much. Have you been following and tracking the NHL?
I have.
I got to be honest, I haven't.
I have, yes. My adopted second team, the Winnipeg Jets, got knocked out. And then now let's go Connor McDavid and Edmonton. Let's go Oilers. They're one win away from going back to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wait. So you adopted, you're a Wild fan, you adopted who?
The Winnipeg Jets.
And now you're on to who?
Edmonton.
Well, how many teams are you going to adopt?
As many as I can, as long as a team from Florida doesn't win the Stanley Cup.
My goodness.
Or Dallas.
Bandwagon jumper.
I mean, I got to have a rooting interest, right? I mean, other than my...
No, not really.
Other than my derelict gambling... I just don't want the Stars to win because I'm bitter. That has been well documented.
I don't want the Stars to win either.
And I'm sorry, but
and
I'm
they're
just,
trailing three games a win.
I know, and that's what makes this glorious. And I want Edmonton to finish the job in Dallas because I want those people to go home sad. Everybody except for Chris from Fort Worth. Everybody else that's a Stars fan.
We haven't heard from Chris in Fort Worth in a while.
No, we haven't.
I wonder what's up with him.
Hopefully he's okay. Yeah?
He's probably okay.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, we're getting into the summertime. But there's still something about playoff hockey. I just believe that it's time for a Canadian team to take home the cup. I just have a hard time believing.
So you're pro-Canada now?
Absolutely. Yes. It's our 51st state, soon to be.
Why would you be so anti-Trump that you want Canada to all of a sudden win a Stanley Cup?
Hey, what would Brian Boitano do, okay, if he was here today? Have you not seen enough South Park episodes? I know how this thing works. I know absolutely how this thing works.
No, I knew you were a hater.
I think absolutely.
Next level.
No, due to booted, eh? You know, they're just out there trying their best, you know? I says to people, you know, I got to see the Stanley Cup up in Canada, you know, them Canadians, they ain't had no luck on the ice, you know? So I feel like it's time for a Canadian team to hoist the Stanley Cup. And I've just always been a believer that I'm...
Couldn't you say that every year?
Yeah, I could.
So, I mean, how does that fly with the fact that you're a Wild fan?
Like,
It's about time that the Wild win a Stanley Cup.
Yes, absolutely. But at the same time, if it can't be us, it's got to be another area that embraces hockey. I mean, no offense to Florida, a Miami. What the hell do people in Miami know about hockey? Like, you don't have natural ice. Wow. You don't have natural ice there. Come on. I mean, even like Charlotte, the Carolina Hurricanes, when the Coyotes were in Phoenix.
Wow.
I'm like, come on.
It's
come
like
on.
That?
It's like that. If you don't have natural snow or ice, you can't claim hockey. That's just not right. It's like something's off in the world.
So the LA Kings, they can't.
No. No. LA has the Dodgers. LA has the Lakers. Okay? Some of this manufactured.
Wayne Gretzky, when he left Edmonton, who did he go play for?
The Blues.
Who else?
And the Kings.
So, don't you think that Wayne Gretzky knows best?
I got no opinion on Wayne Gretzky. Okay. I'm more of a Mark Messier and, you know, Mario Lemieux guy. Okay? Gotcha. Those are my guys. Those are my guys. Well, I think Mike Modano came back home and, you know, rightfully, you know, claimed the Wild after winning a cup. I love playoff hockey, but I'm just, yeah, I just feel
I checked out after the Wild got booted. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. There's something about watching when you don't have a rooting interest in hockey. There's just something entertaining when a game goes into overtime or double overtime, and you can sit there and you are not like clenching your chest with every shift and every shot on goal. Playoff hockey, to me, is the best out of all of the sports when it comes to the playoffs. I think it's better than the NFL. It's better than the NBA. Hmm. You know, better than Major League Baseball. I just think there's something about it. And I mean, I've played floor hockey, but I've never played ice hockey because I can't skate to save my life. I just think I'm just so impressed by everything that they can do.
What about air hockey?
I played air hockey against my daughter when she was like 8, and she schooled me. And then I had my fingers on the table, and I, like, pinched my fingers because I was an idiot. And then I got mad and slammed my stuff down, and I haven't played it since.
Hmm. So you pout it?
Yes, absolutely.
And you're still pouting.
Yeah, oh, I pout. I pout. I throw a fit. Are you a good air hockey guy?
I used to be. I haven't played it in a million years.
Okay.
You know, the place that I always used to play it at was, now they're called Bolero, but it was called something else many, many years ago. In Eden Prairie, because I used to live out in Eden Prairie, there was one right over by the, literally it was right across the street from the Walmart there.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of what the chain used to be in terms of the bowling establishments.
Oh, where they have like the bowling alley and then they'd have like those table games and everything.
The arcade and all
that. Yeah, the arcade and everything.
And the Minnesota Vikings would always go there and they would bowl. So I would always bump into like Big Pat Williams. I bump into Kevin Williams. All okay. Those guys, they used to bowl. Like, Pat Williams, Big Pat. Oh, yeah. Man, you talking about some dudes that love to get their bowl on.
You say the Williams Wall could bowl?
The Williams Wall could bowl, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And remember, the greatest bowling effort that I ever had one night was we were all at a party there, and it was the entire Minnesota Timberwolves dance team. And
I like where this story's going.
I had a crush on one of the gals, and we made a wager on – you know, who would have the best score, and whoever had the whoever won ended up getting lunch on the other person. And so, I mean, I crushed her.
God, that's you couldn't even let her have that.
Nah, man, I'm trying to win.
I mean, she's a dancer. How much money did she make? You probably made more money than she did.
No, she had like a corporate gig.
Oh.
I mean, it's not like they just dance. They got real jobs. Like, they're accountants and all these other things. Come on now. And so, but I never got that lunch.
Well, that's a shame.
That was a bummer.
Do you know where she's at now?
No, I don't.
Oh.
If she's listening, you owe me lunch.
What's her name? We'll Google her. We'll Facebook stalk her.
I can't remember. It's been a million years. All right, coming up next, there's something that for my entire life I've been told not to do, and I don't understand why top-tier athletes continue to do this. We'll get to that next.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.